Welcome to The Week That Was, a look back at the past 7 days on site. I'm David Adams, the editor of Site Magazine, and our coverage this week included how aid agencies are looking to use solar energy in place of traditional fuel sources to power operations in the field, a look inside an unusual wax museum in the US where visitors can come face to face with Jesus, and a sightseeing piece looking at why churches don't sing songs of lament anymore. But first, churches in the US capital, Washington, D.C., are catching the interest of others around the country and around the world as they look to reuse surplus land and properties to create affordable accommodation. Amid declining church attendances, many churches in the US and other Western nations are facing questions about what to do with their property assets. Some, like the Arlington Presbyterian Church, have decided to knock down what was largely an empty building on Sundays. In its place has been built 173 units of low-income housing, as well as some retail premises and green space for residents. The church, meanwhile, will rent a small part of the new building. It's not the only church in the area moving in that direction. Arlington's First Baptist Church of Clarendon created a 10-storey mixed-income apartment building that opened in 2012, and the Central United Methodist Church has had plans since 2013 to tear down its building and construct 119 units of affordable housing in its place. We also ran a story this week looking at how aid agencies are considering using solar energy to replace volatile fuel to power operations in war zones and disaster areas. While traditional fuel has many drawbacks, including the fact it can be used as a weapon, hijacked by militants and sold on the black market, as well as the fact it has to be flown vast distances to reach off-grid relief camps, the sun is readily available. The idea was rolled out in war-battered Syria last year, where almost 500 solar panels were installed to power hospitals, allowing them to continue to operate intensive care units, operating rooms and emergency departments for up to 24 hours without diesel if needed. We also ran a story this week going inside the Bible Walk Wax Museum in Mansfield, Ohio, where visitors can find a collection of some 300 wax figures of people like Jesus, Moses and Paul, as well as other biblical figures. Some of the figures have been resurrected from their previous lives as wax figures of celebrities like Tom Cruise after the museums in which they were shown closed down or they were found surplus to their requirements. The museum is the creation of volunteers at the Diamond Hill Cathedral and operates on the church ground. According to its director, Julie Mott Harden, it's not just an attraction, but a ministry. We also had a sightseeing piece this week in which US pastor Marty Duran explores why churches are no longer singing songs of lament. Duran quotes a range of different people on the issue, including hymn writer Keith Getty, who believes the industry might be to blame, saying that it just wants us to feel good. A lament, he says, is more difficult, harder to get into. Most of our songs are on a superficial level, where a lament takes us down a journey that can no longer be superficial. We're also publishing a piece today about a group of more than 20 people who've just ridden across Australia to raise awareness of and money for the work of Christian Child Sponsorship and Development Agency Compassion Australia. They arrive in Newcastle at the end of their journey next Tuesday. In other news this week, a Christian Congolese physician, Denis Mukwege, and a Yazidi woman, Nadia Murad, were jointly awarded the 2018 Nobel Peace Prize for their efforts to end the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war and armed conflict. In the UK, Belfast bakery Ashes won a case in the Supreme Court, which ruled that its refusal to bake a cake bearing a gay slogan was not discriminatory. In Australia, leaked extracts from a government-ordered review into religious freedom show the inquiry has recommended that a federal government amend the Racial Discrimination Act or create a new Religious Discrimination Act to make it illegal to discriminate against a person on the basis of their religious belief or lack thereof. In Pakistan, the Supreme Court has finally heard the appeal of Asia Bibi, a Christian mother on death row for the crime of blasphemy, but has reserved its decision. And in the US, a number of Christian groups, including the so-called Nuns on the Bus, have kicked off bus tours in a bid to mobilise people ahead of the midterm elections. Among our essays this week was one from US pastor Jensen Franklin looking at the contentious US Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, another on how the loss of languages can equate to a loss of knowledge, and why the medieval nature of the Vatican's deal with China is a good thing. Columns this week included a look at how an Australian social enterprise is helping refugees make a new life for themselves, a photo essay following the ecumenical accompaniers as they travel with Bedouin shepherds in the Jordan Valley, a look at the story of Christian South Sudanese surgeon who's won this year's Nansen Award, and a reflection on God's unfailing love. In reviews, we look at films including Ladies in Black and, as of Saturday, First Man. And in books, I found journalist Ben Doherty's novel about India, Nagaland, a poignant and intoxicating portrait of a man caught between two worlds. Our lifestyle section this week includes a know-it-all piece, marking the 30th anniversary of Australia's Parliament House. Those, of course, are just some of the stories that appeared on our site this week. Remember that you can keep up to date with all that's happening by subscribing to our free site daily or site weekly emails. You can also follow us on a range of social media. Of course, while all our content is freely available, we'd welcome any financial support you can give us. Even just $1 a month to help us to continue to bring you and even expand our coverage from across the globe. Just look under subscribers under the masthead for details. I'm David Adams, the editor of Sight Magazine, and that was The Week That Was.